listening to the Digital Strips Podcast, the first and best webcomics podcast on the planet, and the one show that is going to ask that you please stop reanimating corpses for the following reasons. 1. You are lonely. 2. You want love. 3. You are constantly pined after by a classmate but refuse to recognize those affections. 4. You just want to see cool things happen all the time. 5. You have a lab assistant, so what the heck else are you supposed to do? I am your host, and I am really feeling inadequate that my reanimated corpse didn't result in a rooftop battle with massive property damage and near-fatal injuries. I am Jason, the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he is just happy that his gorgeous creation can carry him safely in her undead arms. He is Steve, the Geek Shitty.
I worked really hard on the arms. I think if you put that much effort into the arms, you should get some benefit out of the arms. And I do.
So you want to reverse, what's the name of the movie where Richard Gere carries off, what's her name, at the an officer and a gentleman, I think? I've never seen it, but I know that's, the song played, and then her, like, getting into his arms, and he carries her off and, like, puts his hat on. Yeah, it's a, I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
No earthly clue what you're talking about, but I'm
really?
Sure most people do. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure most people know exactly what I'm talking
they
about.
They probably do. We all have our blind spots, and Richard Gere is one of mine.
Yeah, mine is like, you know, action movies. Like, I just didn't catch those as a kid. So, like, all the classics I'm like catching up on now. And it's like, oh, yeah, you never watched that? Good Lord, you got to watch that. That's the best. What have you watched? I watched Dirty Dancing. And then they go put me in
Patrick
a corner.
Patrick Swayze's my action hero.
I mean, he is. Action. He can do it all. He could do it all. He could do soft and sweet and charming and then badass. I mean, but again, I've seen Dirty Dancing. I've not seen Tango and Cash. Tango and Cash isn't him. No, Point Break. Point Break is
Point
what I was
Break.
Thinking.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. What about Roadhouse? Have you seen Roadhouse?
Nope. Think of his softer movies. Ghost. I've seen Ghost. All these hard-ass dudes like Jean-Claude Van Damme. Did you see the soft, sweet love story he did? Oh, yes. I loved it. Rated on Amazon. Have you seen Hard Target? Oh, no. I wouldn't watch that. But now, thanks to my rewatch podcast, I've watched Time Cop. I've seen Time Cop. I see the splits to avoid the taser in the water thing. That's the thing I've seen now.
That's all you need to see. It really was. Literally his career.
It was, I mean, it kind of summed up everything. He's got a mullet and everything, so yeah, most definitely. But we're not here to talk about that, obviously. Why would we be? We're here to talk about webcomics, and we're talking about a specific webcomic this week. The webcomic we're looking at is Devil's Candy. And it's brought to us by Clint Bickham, who goes by Bikuri as the writer on this comic, and Priscilla Hamby, who goes by Rem. Is the, obviously not the writer. I wrote the writer. I'm guessing the artist. I can't currently bring up the website because McAfee is trying to tell me, hey, this probably isn't a website you should be at. And I disagree because I like this webcomic. But, so.
McAfee's turning into your mom. This website's about the devil's candy and I don't want you getting involved in that.
Yes, this website is me looking at wrestling. As soon as she comes in, just takes the channel. I wasn't watching porn. I mean, wrestling. I mean, fine. I was doing things I wasn't supposed to be. Well, since I can't pull up this comic, we're going to let you talk about it. You tell us all about Devil's Candy.
All right. So Devil's Candy is a fun-filled comedy romp set in a magical school. Now, before you think, oh, Harry Potter, this will be charming and fun and light, and no, these aren't kids turned into wizards. These are demons studying to become mad scientists. So what do they do for biology? Not dissect a fetal pig. No, no, no. They all must create life. And with the exception of one character who makes a three-headed, or who makes a Cerberus, but with wings so it's cooler, everyone does what you would do in high school if you had the chance to create life. Everyone makes a girl to varying degrees of success. And our main character, Kazu, actually makes a successful girl. Everyone else makes horrible monstrosities like fish with snake legs and, I don't know, calls it a girl. I don't know how half those things got away with being girls, but they were girls. And that just kicks off this madcap adventure through the school. And then more adventures follow. Eventually, we stretch beyond the initial characters of Kazu and his friends.
Nemo?
I wanted to say Nico, but I knew it wasn't Nico. Nemo. And we get into more and more characters. We meet more and more demons. And the adventure spirals out. I read up through chapter 6. So, like, at that point, another demon kid gets a devil guitar named Mark, and they have to run around protecting it from another demon who wants to use it for evil purposes. That's the thing. When you make demons your default race in a story, it's hard to know who's the good guy and who's the bad guy without sounding like, and then another demon, and then another demon, and then another demon. But no, it's fun. I had a heck of a time reading this.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I do want to preface this is a dark comic with, it's also dark, but it's also anime. So it is, or manga or whatever. So it is very dark, but it's also cute. Like it's not, it's not super dark and brooding and it's very depressing. Like it's still very light, I think. It's lightly horrific, maybe. But I definitely agree that it's a blast to read. It's very quick. Like the chapters flow very quickly. They flow like a typical story would, like an actual like comic. Like this is a comic you read and the next one you pick up is going to be a new story of these kids at their school and introduce new characters. And they're so far from what I read, which is admittedly very little compared to you, especially, but it doesn't seem to be like an overarching story necessarily. It's just, these are the characters we're meeting and their lives at the school. It's not necessarily a bigger evil plot going on behind the scenes. There probably is at some point later on, but from what I've read, it's just these kids and their adventures at the school. And I mean, it's introduces Pandora. That's the girl that Kazu creates, and that we're kind of off and running with that character, but I'm sure it branches out from there and we probably focus on more characters as the chapters go on. But the first chapter, the main one I read, is just a blast to read and a blast to look at. Oh my goodness, when the fight scene really gets going, that's where the Japanese inspiration for the artwork really comes to life, because man, it's gruesome. It's fun. It's does the action very well. Like it's gorgeous.
Yeah, this is manga AF. There is just it. And yet at the same time, everything is a lot more rounded. I feel that a lot of manga is very flat. This comic does a great job of feeling rounded despite being in all black and white. But it is a dense read visually. There is so much going on in almost every panel where you it's going to sound weird, it's almost distracting how much attention you have to pay to the comic. Like you will really want to go through each panel and see what's going on in the background, because there's always like some weird cool demon in the background just, you know, doing stuff. This takes place in a demon city where demons are the default, and so there's lots of different variety in them, but they're just doing the most mundane stuff, where you'll have this horrible creature with a flea for a head at a Starbucks, and he's just like ordering coffee. And that's just something you need to know and you need to take note of.
And also the, as you say, is black and white, but the shading and the grading of the color does do a lot to make everything stand out. Because if you do a black and white comic like this and have really detailed action, it can completely just be a jumbled mess and you could stare at it forever and never depict what the heck is actually going on. And that, to me, that happens a little bit in the bigger, heavier action scene, again, in chapter one, where the creature's attacking and goes up to the roof and they all have to fight it. There are scenes, there are moments like that, but for the most part, it stays clear of that. And I, again, credit the artist with the ability to do a black and white correctly and convincingly. So,
yeah, keeping things as legible as it is, despite all the busyness, is it's a superpower. Like, the art is super and powerful. So, you know, I think that qualifies.
And we also are introduced to, as we said, many different characters, and it does a great job of passing the silhouette test, where you can tell this character from this character. You get slight, little, tiny Kazu. Can tell he's a kid, basically, of some age. And then you get this giant, hulking owl teacher who just wants to hold you safely in his big, sexy arms. I was very uncomfortable with giant owl teacher.
he's just after your liver, Jason. Don't fall for it. He just wants to eat your succulent protein synthesizing liver.
Yes, that was a moment, and yes, that also told me, this comic isn't just going to be full of kids, and we meet all the kids, and you know that they're the main characters. Like, there's also going to be the characters like that teacher that are just extremely hungry and thirsty at the same time. And it works. And I want to read more of it, because I've read, sadly, very little compared to what's there. And it gets humor pretty well. It doesn't go too hard on the, I created a sexy anime lady, I totally want to bang her. Like, it doesn't go in that direction, which I was worried. There were definitely some moments where it seemed like that's all Kazu was going to talk about. I was like, check out what I made. I'm totally going to.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that was, like, very much, you start just thrown right into it. And Kazu and Nemo are creating this this creature. And it turns out to be a smoking hot anime babe. And she's way better put together than anybody else's failed attempts at a smoking hot anime babe. But Kazu is such a innocent and pure character. It's weird. He's an imp. He's a devil. And yet, all he wants to do is just do his best at science. And he loves science, and it should be there to help everyone. There's a scene in Chapter 3 where all the different school clubs are trying to, like, recruit new people. And he joins all of them because all he wants to do is make friends and make the world a better place. And Nemo has to go behind him to club to club and cross his name out of every list because Nemo does not belong in the Pumping Iron Club, even though his blood does pump iron throughout his body.
Yeah, that is also a good thing to point out, is the relationship between Kazu and Nemo. Yeah, Kazu is very innocent and just, like you said, he loves science. He made his, you know, hot anime girl just because that's what he made. And then he gets to class and he's just like, wait, everybody made girls? I'm like, why? What? Why did everybody copy me?
Yeah. Why would anyone else make a girl?
Yeah, does not
get
that.
Doesn't make any sense.
Luckily, Nemo is there with him, and Nemo is very much the street smart, like, I understand things that he doesn't, and like you said, can come by and cross out his name, like, takes care of him basically from the shadows. He's the Alfred, kind of. He's like, you didn't actually want to do that, trust me, I got this. Like, if he wasn't there, and there probably is some chapter at some point where Nemo probably quits because he finally gets tired of it, and, you know, we see how Kazu just falls apart, possibly literally, without Nemo there. So I do like that relationship. And we can also briefly mention Hitomi, who is the cycloptic, I'm not sure if she's just a cyclops or if it's something else to it, but classmate of Kazu, who clearly has a thing for him and he wants nothing to do with, again, not because he's being mean about it, but he just doesn't recognize that she has a thing for him. And she shows up with a, like, squid thing on her face at one point.
Well, because she's convinced that he only, like, two-eyed girls.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's the way that she becomes.
It's terrifying. And of course, his reaction is, ah, what's that thing on your face? So, yeah, it is, I think, especially the conceit of basically the weird science of it, of making hot woman because I can't get one myself. That is, like, the jumping off point for the comic. But it immediately turns that on its head, where it's like, that's not why he's creating this thing. It's just to win his science project. Like, he loves science. And that, I don't know, there's something wholesome about that. And the look and feel of the comic is the typical, that is typically what you would think of it, is just, what was the, what about the demon that we looked at fairly recently? It all about boobs and horniness I can't remember what it was called. You know what I'm talking about, though. And it was, that's the kind of vibe that you would think this comic would have. But no, it's totally not completely wholesome, but his intentions are purer and truer. And I think that makes it a totally different comic as a result. And for me, more readable. Just I don't have to cringe at certain jokes. I'm just like, oh, I wish you'd just let up on the boobs.
Yeah, it was My Pet Succubus is the one you're thinking of.
Yes.
Yes, this is absolutely you can't say it's wholesome because they beat the crap out of each other and they kill each other. There's a lot of demon violence and stuff. The main crux of the story is relationships between students. It's not just Kazuo and Nemo. It starts with that, and that kind of like helps you realize, okay, this is a comic about friendship, and it absolutely is. But we start going beyond that, and we get into the friendships between other groups of kids and how, you know, that's how you survive being a teenager. Whether you're a human or a demon, is you just rely on your friends. You get your support group, and they are the most important thing in your world, because in your teenage addled brain, they're all you have. And for some of these kids, that is all they have. Parents are either not there or they are extreme definitions of background characters. They just don't do anything. And it's just about these kids going out and doing stuff. But their problems quickly escalate beyond just high school. And they start dealing with, you know, all kinds of stuff. But they're always there for each other. And that's what makes it kind of fun. And yeah, it's a hoot. It's a riot. There are some genuinely funny moments. And a lot of it is character driven, just the relationships between these characters, as you know, they snark back and forth at each other, they put up with each other, but you can tell deep down they love each other, and that's perfect, and that's great. It's a great representation of high school friendship, and I loved it.
I will ask one question as somebody who's read more of the comic than I have. Does Skeleton Ninja Sensei ever get more of a role, or is he just kind of always just hanging out and shrugging like, I don't know?
Unfortunately, Skeleton Ninja Sensei gives his life defending Pandora in chapter 6.
Oh, that's
I have a feeling we haven't seen the end of Skeleton Ninja Sensei, but as of that point, he is no more.
When they introduce him and he's so well drawn, like he looks like an actual skeleton. It looks terrifying. And then the next time they show him, he's just this anime skeleton just shrugging like, "Oh, well." That's like all he does. He can't speak. It doesn't seem like. I'm sure he probably does later, but yeah.
I just like how he's a PE teacher who smokes.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's that kind of world. Look back to, you know, not too far back in our own history. You'd probably have that. You'd probably have him out on the. It's probably more combining TV with my actual history, but I feel like I did at one point probably have a PE teacher that was probably smoking when we were outside doing something. And, you know, it was just, that's what they did. So not completely out of the realm of possibility, but this comic is very outside the realm of possibility. And that's a good thing because it makes it more fun and fantasy and adventurous. And one we definitely wholeheartedly recommend you go check out.
For shizzle.
That will do it for this episode of Digital Strips. If you have any comments about anything we talked about in this episode or suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Twitter. The show is at Digital Strips. I personally am at the Jason Sigler.
And I personally am at Idahobo.
Or if you prefer, you can head on over to our website. That's digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email, and that email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. We give special thanks to Chime and Adam Tell for our music, which is from their song Hole. You can find Hole along with many other great copyright-free songs on YouTube, SoundCloud, and Spotify. If you like this show, I have great news. We do another one. It's a show featuring two guys who have never met in real life, giving each other plenty of reasons to stick to that decision. And that show is called Then You Ruined It. You can find that podcast along with Digital Strips on pretty much any podcast platform you use. If that platform is one where you can leave reviews, we really appreciate those 5-star reviews. But until next time, for Digital Strips, I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
Last I checked, I was Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you in the fourth panel. Something magical and terrible is bound to happen. But we'll get through it.
Don't worry, my Cerebus will carry me to safety.
I will say that, like the word FAFSA, as in the thing you fill out for federal aid when you go to college, is everybody says FAFSA or FAT, however you say it. I've always said Cerebus as Cerberus. It just sounds more natural in my head.
I mean, I don't think a giant three-headed dog is going to come out and correct either one of us on our pronunciation. So,
I mean, we're lucky. Because if it did, it would eat us.
Maybe. Depends which head you get.
And statistics probably say that one of us would find would get horny over something like that.
Wait, what?
I don't know. Being devoured by a dog. It's like somebody getting stepped on by a big, sexy lady is... I don't know. There's weird fetishes going on. There's got to be one of somebody being eaten by Cerberus, whatever, alive, is probably a kink.
Yeah, but that we're only two people. You think one of every two people has a Cerberus kink?
I'm nodding. You know the answer to that. It's the internet.
That when one person has every kink, it only takes two.
There you go. I'm saying I'm one of us because it's me.
I'm stopping this recording.
I'm just getting started.